All right, everybody. Welcome back. We got another episode coming at you. We're keeping them rolling. We're keeping them going, pumping them out. One thing we ain't doing is hitting the brakes at no time soon at all.
At all.
We done a episode a couple weeks ago with the legendary Uncle Pat, and we did a Q&A deal with him. And we had, you know, had some people send in some questions and stuff like that. And so we're doing it again. Without further ado, here's Uncle Pat, and we got some questions and stuff lined up. He's got some questions and stuff from listeners. So, Uncle Pat, what you been up to, man?
Hey, man, look, I was down there last weekend. Jaybird Bajoie Rodeo Company put on a rodeo in Pineville, and it worked out really good. Had CG bucking bulls there. Had some of them $100,000 bulls there, you know.
Ooh,
yes, sir. Really dusted some cowboys, and just had a good time. I had a couple old girls up in the stands I was trying to show out for, and didn't really realize how brave I had gotten until Jaybird come over the mic and said, "Somebody get Uncle Pat out of there before he gets killed." You know?
Getting tuned up, wouldn't you?
So, I mean, you know what, I'm 51, but I was trying to let them, they's a good bit younger than me, so I was trying to chill out a little bit, but Jaybird brought me back to reality on that one. Yeah, somebody leash him before he gets killed. I'm going to need him to take these matters down later tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, he wasn't really worried about my well-being. He just needed to help.
Yeah, that's what it was. He just wanted to make sure he had a hand.
I don't blame him.
I don't either. We all love Jay Bird, man. That's some good. He can keep everybody entertained, that's for sure.
He's done more for Hog Band than he'll ever realize.
Yes, Lord, he's done a lot.
He brought a level of professionalism, and I'm going to give him – nobody gives him a shout-out out on these things, so I'm going to go and give him a shout-out that he's probably did more to promote Hog Band inadvertently – man, all of us put together, you know.
I agree. Without a doubt. He ain't even trying to do it. He just done it.
That's right. Hey, there ain't no two people that get madder at each other than me and him at the Hog Band. Ain't neither one of us got a dog in her.
yeah, but hey, as long as y'all can get mad at each other and get over it, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I do it every day with Nate.
Yeah, that's true love. You know, hey, that's true love.
He's looking at me right now. Y'all probably hear that crinkling.
I don't know why you don't just unwrap it.
I was sitting there playing with it. It was, I'm old too, so I got one of them Werther's Originals out, boy.
That's what Ed Bowens put on there about Tanner. He said, Tanner's always picking me about being old, but he's the one who's got this old man candy in his
pocket. Well, I'm telling you right now, when I go to Oklahoma, I'm riding with Tanner's ass. He got the candy.
100%. Tanner don't talk very much, but he talks more than Ed.
Yeah. There we go. All right. So,
hey, did you see the Facebook yesterday? Boy, caught me a big hog with them yard dogs yesterday. Man, I got a.
That was your Shankathon post, your entry, wasn't it? One of them?
He said, you know, I'm leading the Shankathon right now. I don't think it starts. Chill. Yeah. And then leave that. Now we got all them floods, you know, and everybody, the tornadoes and everything, and our heart goes out to them. Friday night at the rodeo, 80% of our bull riders was hung up in them tornadoes, and man. I was kind of like, man, our show ain't going to be that good. And I'm thinking, I thought for a minute, you know, that's not very good of me to worry about the show. I need to worry about them and those other people out there, you know, instead of worrying about a darn bull. And look, it ended up being a sellout crowd the next night, which it was sold out crowd that night too, but we did the best we could. But, you know, all them people out there, you know, so, but that's what led me to hunt. You know, I live right here. It's a hill and all of our land is a bottom. And when we get them floods like that, them old hogs that I like to catch that's got a little age on them, they already know to move to the high ground.
Yeah.
And if you'll go back through my Facebook post on this latest Facebook I got, all them big hogs, I ain't going to say I catch them. I shoot them because I'm old and I don't got no help and all I'm running is puppies anyway. But if you'll notice, it's always the day after a big flood.
Yeah.
And it just... I'm setting my dogs up for success.
There you go. There you go.
I like to pose in them pictures myself. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I know that I got a daggum good chance of getting on a good boar hog the morning after the flood. After the flood.
Yep.
And it's just knowing my area and keeping a mental note, believe it or not, you know, I might not can remember your name, and I'll know your face, and what did you say your name was? You know, and that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I can promise you one thing, when it comes to some of these dogs, I ain't forgot.
That's right.
I've been here 3 years, and it took me probably 18 months to 2 of them years to figure the pattern out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, look on this last Facebook that I've only had now for 6 or 7 months, 8 months, whatever, and you'll see the pattern to be after a rain, after a big rain, after a big rain, big haul, big haul, big haul. And hey, when you got mediocre dogs, you have to be a superior woodsman.
There you go. You got to put them at the right spot at the right time.
Yes, and that just goes back to setting them up for success.
Yep.
Look, I guarantee you take the best dog in the world. Oh, he won't run a deer. Oh, okay. Okay. You set him down about 4 times, there ain't no hog with one of mine. And your silent hog dog will be going through yonder testifying like a Pentecostal preacher, son.
He'll be talking.
Jay, that's not no hammer, because he's going to be dropping it going through yonder.
That's right.
If he don't, you ain't feeding much.
Exactly. They got to have that drive to make them want to hunt.
Yeah.
And if there's, like you said, if there's a hog dog and there ain't no hogs there, after a while, if they got the drive and they're bred right, they're going to run something.
Oh,
mine better do something.
I got a community standards last week on Facebook.
Yeah.
From the Coosers guys. You made a point that might have been why I got it, mm-hmm. was because I used the word coon instead of raccoon, but everybody knows it ain't a racist bone in my body. But
yeah. And like I said, they hit me on that last year, and it was about a 38 pound coon that was caught, you know, and all of us, we're from the Southeast. We call them coons instead of raccoons, you know, and that's what they said it was for.
And that's going to lead me into my first question right here. I don't know if Nate's got it, but it's from Ryan Rankin from Boars and Broads of why hog doggers are looked at as being the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Or was that last issue? No, this is this time, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, why do feral hogs and hog duck hunters get a bad rap when there has been statistics that show white-tailed deer, other wildlife species, cause as much damage to crops as they do annually?
Well, here's my take on it, because us hog hunters is so dumb, we use the word coon instead of raccoon. We don't need nothing. We ain't got no better sense than to do something inadvertently that could be mistaken for something else with people that don't know no better, like Facebook standards. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
We do things sometimes, and that's why we look at the way we look at. We, I know people ain't no better than us, I can promise you.
Mm-hmm.
But they carry another level of professionalism about themselves, and that's a small part of why we look at differently, even though that I'm pretty sure them statistics he's going to go through is going to talk about how much more the deer do damage. And you believe it or not, the bears do damage. Bears will tear up more cornfield
and
more corn feeders in the deer woods than anything else.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just real hard, especially in the Southeast, to do a lot of bear studies because they're just such a large mammal and they just move so much. Like in Mississippi, you might have one bear that typically lives in the Delta, but for some reason he felt like going to Tishomingo today and he just walked like 100 miles in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Me and them bears is a lot of light when we smell something in the wind.
That's right.
Yeah.
What kind of Did you? Nate looked up some studies.
So I got some notes here from a couple of different studies. And so in the description, I'm going to put like three or four different studies about feral hogs for those of you that don't know. But as hog hunters, we all know how much damage they cause. They tear stuff up. But that's not the focus because we all feel like that white-tailed deer, it's not brought up how much damage they're causing.
Yeah, and how much more damage they cause.
So with the first study... So they have an estimated annual economic impact from deer vehicle collisions and depredation to different agricultural, such as grain and nursery crops and like landscaping, for example. And they did this in 13 northeastern United States states, and it was nearly $640 million a year. And so this was published in 2005. And so if you take $640 million and put it in today's money, it's a little over $1 billion.
So that'd buy about four buggies of groceries.
Yeah.
On today's
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's just 1 year, and that's 13 crazy. States that are all real small. So like mm-hmm. Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, yeah. Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Virginia, West Virginia. So I think Virginia and West Virginia are probably the biggest ones. Out of that, and it's still $1 billion a year.
Yeah, and that's just the white-tailed deer.
And now there's another study, and this was done on a land trust made up of three farms that are 640 acres, and this is in South Alabama. And this study was published in 2014. So just from deer consumption on food plots, or I mean on their agriculture, it was $732,471. So that's over a three-year period. So annually, it's a little about $250,000. So at that, you do about $2.5 million over a 10-year period on 640 acres of just one farm.
And yeah, so, 640 acres, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only a square mile. That's a section of one square mile.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. That's not much.
So if you take $244,000 in 2012 money, it's about $332,000 in today's money. And now, I just felt the need to update it because the inflation has went up so high.
Now, imagine that on a 30,000-acre farm like they have in the Delta, you know, like the Arkansas, Mississippi Delta, Louisiana, places like that, or real big places out in Texas, you know?
Oh, yeah. There was another one that I had looked into, and that will be tagged down below. I want to say it's out west. I want to say it's in like Nebraska, and it had just different statistics on like just this one farm, and it was pretty similar findings. But I mean, just it's so easy to find what kind of damage does a feral hog do. But I had to look twice as hard to find any studies on deer damage and stuff like that. That was
a deer damage, correct? It didn't involve any other species like bear or coons or anything like that. Because like a raccoon, how many times have all of us that hunt around cornfields, you'll see corn drug up in the trees.
Yeah, just for the sake of not getting in so many different ones, because typically they're going to do like one species at a time, unless it's more from the ag side. But I'd rather go from the wildlife and economic side just because money is what matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's why
it was twice as hard to find deer info as it was hog info.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. People will pay $25,000 to shoot a deer. Yep. I've seen it. And don't even take the meat.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We've seen it ourselves.
I've actually shot the deer for them because they was entertaining their niece down at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You got that? You feel me?
Yes, sir. Without a doubt. We've been to a couple of higher end places, and you know the guys will give you their tags. Like here, y'all do what you want to do with it. Don't matter, you know. It just amazes me, like you said, though, how hard you have to look to find. Well, it don't really amaze me because, like you said, it's at the end of the day, money is what is going making it do it.
I feel like it's just not as much of a concern because most people. Like for most people that have been around hog hunting, it's either very new to them in the last 20 years or it's always been there. I feel like it's just like because you've seen the expansion here recently and just with publicity and just media.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but they don't add that pigs have been in the U.S. for 500-600 years now.
Yeah.
So Because I got in a debate one time this was during a deer presentation from Dr. Steve Damaris, and we were talking about invasive and just game animals. And so he was talking about how like a game animal is typically not going to be an invasive. And that, like, we were talking about, like, damage done by deer and stuff like that. And somebody had asked about the hogs. And he's like, well, they're not naturalized. And I was like, well, how long till they're naturalized?
Yeah, because they've been here 600 years.
A hog ain't even a wild animal. That's people say hog hunting. That's really no different than a cowboy saying cow hunting.
Yeah.
We didn't, like I said on the last podcast, we didn't have a stock law till 92. That's why there's so many old net wire fences that used to give us a fit in the 80s when I was a kid in the woods and got left, because they put up net wire not to keep the hogs in. They put up net wire to keep the hogs out.
Yeah.
And the hogs lived in the woods, and you rounded them up. And the mark, I mean, if you go down there to pay your brand in Texas right now, and they open that big book up for you to pay your 3-year, 5-year, or year, I don't even really remember how it was.
Right.
But they still got the hog mark in there.
Yeah, we had it here till 2015, I think it was.
Oh, they wild. They feral.
Yep, they're feral.
And that's one thing that I had brought up to him is because we was talking about wild horses, because most people are okay with wild horses. And just here, like the past 5-6 years, there's been a lot of Western management companies like, hey, we need to shoot some of these things. we ain't supposed to have horses out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just funny to me, like how they just were like, oh, yeah, we love horses. We hate the pigs, though.
Well, it's always going to be like that. It's because we're at the, like you said, like the lower end of the spectrum. You know, it's not a – it's as soon as somebody that's higher up really catches on to it or falls in love with it and changes something, it'll be like that. It'll be like they're just pigs. They're down there at the bottom.
Well, and here's why the government don't want the pigs in the woods. Is because if they didn't get rid of the buffalo, we would all be speaking Lakota Sioux and Hickory Apache.
That's right. Without a doubt.
We starved them out. Scorched earth tactic that Rome used as they conquered the world. They took what they needed for the army and burned the rest and let the people to starve.
Yep.
Hey, I guarantee you ain't nothing to get your mind right quicker than a broken heart, a broken butt, or a hungry belly.
Yeah,
that's the only three things that'll change a man's mind, I guarantee you.
Yes, sir.
The way I feel about it. The government don't like for us to have that in the woods.
Well, that like with the
it's white control.
I think like with that white-tailed deer issue is there's so many deer hunters that, you know, you got all the steel hunters, all the bow hunters and gun hunters and stuff, and as well as dog hunters. It's just a big, big industry. And, you know, if they were to really try to crack down on it, then that would, you know, it would knock the funding down, their finances and stuff. They don't think that you get any money through wild hogs or feral hogs. Like they changed all our laws, and now you can buy a $15 permit to put out corn. Now it's for deer and wild hogs.
Well, y'all used to couldn't put out corn in Alabama.
No,
right?
Sir, no corn at all. No. As soon as they said, well, we'll charge $15. If you ain't feeding corn, you ain't shooting nothing around here.
Hey, look, I ain't gonna say who did this. But I was in York, Alabama one time, because I don't know who really done it, because I just walked up. I ain't going to say I put this up. I'm going to say I saw this put up, because that's when it happened. There was a pile of corn on the ground with a big sign over it. It said, this corn is for the hogs, the coons, the squirrels, and the turkeys. Any deer caught eating this corn will be shot on sight.
Exactly. Right on.
You know? Yeah. I'll say this. People talk about steel hunting. You know, I'm a big recurve hunter, or used to be. I've never killed a hog with my recurve. I never really tried, but I never have.
Yeah.
Much as I was spending in the woods, I should have. Because if I'd have seen him, I'd have shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
But I've killed elk, public land elk too. Now I know, like, I bought a tag from Walmart in Creek, Colorado for $535. And then I had a buddy calling for me.
Yeah.
And but I mean, I killed a little raghorn and I killed some bigger elks on some, some more higher end hunts, all kind of whitetail deers. But I never killed a hog. Hmm. I never really tried, but as much corn as I had on the ground around me, I should have.
Yeah.
they just don't come in like that. They feed at night, like, you know, and they can smell. If a hog could see like a turkey, you never would kill one.
Yeah. Yep.
They just can't see.
I agree.
But they can smell you.
They sure got a nose on them. Ain't no doubt. And, you know, you see people, they'll kill a hog. What I'm talking about is like steel hunters, okay? That deer hunt. They'll be out there and they'll kill a big old boar hog and they'll be like, well, hell, ain't nothing to it. I killed a big old 350 pounder. I was like, that was an accident. And they're like, no.
He was smelling a saw. Different than a hunting buck.
That's what I told him. I said, did you kill that 180 inch buck? No, he's way harder to kill. I said, I see them big deer all the time. Like literally all the time. I don't shoot deer. I don't gun hunt. So, you know, I want to kill something with a bow or with a knife. I'd rather kill a hog with dogs and a knife if I got to kill something. I'd rather not even kill it. I'd rather just catch it.
Well, they got a law called Won't Waste.
Yeah.
Now, how come you can kill a, you can, they say it's hog hunting, but you can kill a 300-pound boar hog and throw him out in the crossroads for everybody to see.
Yep.
But you can't shoot a whitetail deer and cut the head off him and throw him out in the crossroads. That's illegal.
Yes, sir.
What's the difference?
And
what's the difference?
I don't know. That's like Alabama changed feral hogs to a game animal. But you can hunt them at night. And, you know, they got so many different restrictions on them. So, I mean, you can't do other game animals like that.
Well, you know, like we had the Uncle Earl's hog hunt this year. And it's a live weight hunt. And everybody griped about it. But look here. If you want to be able to keep your hogs, I got an idea for you. You can come spend a week getting all that stuff ready with me for free.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And you can buy them belt buckles for free. You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you can do all this running around for free with me. I won't gripe at you at all. You can do it however you want to. And you can spend all this time getting all this for free.
Yeah. And all you got to do is just come do it.
Yeah.
Then you can gripe some.
And then when you catch your hogs, you can take them right back with you, partner. Mm-hmm. But I can promise you, when you deal, but you're going to answer the phone like me, too. And you're going to answer the phone like Jake does, too.
Yeah.
Well, this and asking, and you got all the questions is on the flyer.
Yeah.
But they still going to call you.
Yes, sir.
And it's fine. That's fine. A thousand phone calls a day if you answer them.
Yep.
You're going to take them phone calls, too. And you're going to tell them, you're going to read the flyer off to people. Then another member of their team is going to call. And you're going to read it off to him, too, even though it's on Facebook, 99 spots.
Yep.
Now, I'm not grabbing people. I want y'all to enter, and I'll talk to you about it.
Exactly. All he's saying is go through the paces. Go do do all the work. We do the same thing like with the Shankathon. It's all right there. It's big letters. I do videos and explain all of it, and I have to answer a thousand phone calls and questions, and I don't mind doing it. I don't mind at all. But
yeah,
like you said,
already winning.
That's right. But at the same time, it's like if you're going to piss and moan and complain about it and tell me how easy it is, well, just come on and help me do it then and do it the same way that I do it.
And I'm going to add that in there. Reason why hog hunters are looked at like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is because they like that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all part of my answer to that question. Why are we looked at different?
Because we are.
I can promise you, ain't nobody calling the big buck competition trying to get somebody to explain how to Boone and Crockett score their deer.
Nope.
They just take it down there and enter it.
That's exactly right. I do have to agree with that 100%.
So that's a... And another reason why, look, have you ever tried to sell a puppy? You can't even, I can't even give a puppy away, but I can sell them a little bit when I can stand it. But, like, if I'm going to sell 10 puppies, I'm going to get asked 25 times, well, are they out of good dogs? Guess what? You know what I tell you? You can't have one now.
Yeah.
Because you're not cerebral enough to handle. No, I just like wasting money, cuz, and I'm trying to beat you out of $100. I tell you what, I give you $100 if you just leave me alone.
Yeah. Now you're gonna breed two worst dogs that you've ever seen, and that's what you want. No.
But because of the level of dog jockeys we have,
yep,
in the hog hunting industry, screwing people over, they feel the need to ask that question.
Yep.
It's a shame they feel that need.
I had a guy call me yesterday. We sent a dog to Georgia with a guy. He bought the dog. And like I said, I don't sell dogs. Just same reason you don't. I can sell them a little bit, but not for much. Anyway, so his buddy wanted one. They were well pleased with the dog they had. I told him the price on it. He said, well, what's wrong with it? I started laughing for a second. I said, what'd you say? He said, man, never mind. He said, I don't even know why I said that. And I was like, well, I ain't mad at you. He said, well, no. Honestly, I've talked to so many people about dogs. He said, and they're so full of shit. He said, I feel like everybody's out to get me. He said, man, I apologize. He said, I know you're not. He said, I tell you what, you ain't got to say another word. I'll take the dog. But because of all the junk that he's had to go through, that was his first reaction.
Stuart, do you know Stuart Joslin from Oklahoma? Great guy.
That name sounds so familiar.
Oklahoma Dog Hunters Association. Yeah. He's like, I don't know if he's the president or whatever. I went to a couple of meetings with him.
I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. Had a pleasure squirrel dog. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a timer or a fast, I don't know. He was wanting to give it to a kid, and it stayed on Facebook with no hits.
Mm.
He put it on there for $1,000. That's about what it was worth. And in 15 minutes, a guy was en route.
Yeah.
To get it for his kid.
That's crazy.
True story, I swear.
I believe it. If I put a dog on for sale for $250 or $350 or $450, there's not going to be a lot of talk about it. Like you said, if I put it on there for $1,500 or $2,500, somebody's going to look at it.
And that person's going to say, well, is he any good?
Yeah, exactly. Well, what's wrong with him? I'm like, look, if I'm selling a dog, if I sell one, it's probably going to be cheap, and there's a reason why I'm selling it. It's not because the dog ain't no good, because I wouldn't have had him in the first place. You know, you know, there's something different. It's the reason why I'm getting rid of it.
Today's time, people, there ain't a lot of culls out there being bred. It's a lot of cull people.
Yeah.
But just put this into perspective. Uncle Earl's in the pro class, 100 and whatever dogs they had. I don't know, 140, say that.
I think it was 140 something, yeah.
Yeah. 0.2 was the spread from top to bottom.
Yep.
You got me?
That's right.
300 and something, I think it had two dogs. Guess what the spread was? 0.2.
Yep. That's what it comes down to.
There's not a lot of culls being bred out there today.
No, that's exactly. I mean, it's one of those deals where it's the consistency and the longevity part. We were touching on that, you know. So that's something that people don't take into account when they even call and ask. Well, how'd you get my number, or how'd you get Pat's number, or how'd you get Jake's number, or whoever, or how did you even know our names? Well, there's a reason why you know the name. It's because of all the years and the work and the time and the effort. And staying true to the game and doing your job and doing it right. That's why somebody knows your damn name. If not, it'd be the other way around. It'd be like, hey, don't call that some gun.
Right. You know, that leads me into the next thing is people making permanent decisions over temporary problems.
Mm-hmm.
With these dogs, you know. And Carter touched on this last year, bless his little heart, with his shirt off and all that, all sexy on Facebook.
Showing them damn muscles off. Boy, I'll
pull showing off that muscle. Man. I don't know about that. But anyway, still got that cop mustache, so I'm still kind of out. Like, the jury's still out on a little bit of that.
You're worried about it, ain't you?
No, I'm worried about that part, but yeah, I ain't worried about letting him have a good dog.
No, hell
because
no.
Because
he going to hunt it.
Oh, and he's boy, hey, look. Don't set nothing down around him. He'll pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
A little sponge. Must be part of that mustache be soaking it up. I don't know, but he said that about, yeah, you know, he touched on that in that podcast we had last year up in Downfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you just got to be consistent. I mean, if you can't even stay on track, how you expect that dog that's looking to you for guidance to stay on track?
Mm-hmm.
If you hooping and hollering and raising all kind of hell with a bunch of buddies and drinking beer, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But that dog's watching that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't miss nothing. If you don't believe me, go look at them videos of Daisy opening the window and sticking her head out looking side to side first to see if I'm finna knock her in the head. She looked for me first. And then look, she gets halfway out, she looks again to make sure, but I'm hiding behind the Jeep video because I couldn't figure it out how the hell she was getting out.
Yeah.
They don't miss nothing.
Nope, they're watching you.
You got to lead from the front and be consistent with everything you do if you want that dog to be consistent with everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's another question we got? We're going to be 11 o'clock.
We got one from, let's see, we got a couple. We got one from Michael Smith. He wanted about the ability to stay on track, different styles of hunting, walk, road, rig, cast, knowing what style suits your dog's best, knowing how to hunt a dog in correlation with its strengths. That's from Michael Smith to you.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is the dog is going to decide that.
Right.
You ain't going to decide that for that dog, I can promise you. Like, I got a set of yellow dogs. You got some out of the same litter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect them to do what them running walkers does. I'm not even going to bring them when I take them running walkers, because the harder you run a cur dog, the more likely he is to quit, and the harder you run a walker dog, the more likely he is you make to make him better. So you can't cast apples and oranges together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm saying it right.
No, you got it. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, rigging dogs, you got to have a nose. Mm-hmm. Ralph Perkins, Pekin, Louisiana, or Fullerton, Louisiana, he had an old dog. Boy, and I loved that dog, old Bo. And we rigged him so much that we could tell about how far the hog was off the road by the way he barked when he barked in the back of the truck. The guy says, how you get him to do that? And Ralph made it real simple. He said, do you whoop him for barking in the box going down the road? And the guy said, well, yeah. He said, well, that's why your dogs won't rig. Because you're going to beat the hell out of
him. That's it.
Boy, now that made a lot of sense to me. I'm kind of old slow country boy, but old Ralph, he's sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And that, so, but now old Bo had some ears on him. In my personal opinion, if you want a rigging dog, he's got to have some ears on him.
Yep.
But in another sense, there was a guy who had a yeller dog. I don't know. Buttermilk. Let me turn to
but, yeah, Buttermilk.
Buttermilk.
Yeah.
That he used a coon hunt with when coons brought money, and he had a blanket on the hood of the truck. And she just laid on that blanket. And when she stood up, he'd stop the truck. And she'd bail off, and she wouldn't be 100 yards out there. She'd be treed. And now she was a coon dog. Could she win a coon hunt like that? Not in the least.
But she can put the meat on the tailgate.
36 that one night.
Good Lord. That's a lot of damn coons.
Oh, man, look, this old boy's old lady could skin a coon so fast. I was like, man, I ain't getting around her with no kind of knife.
That's right.
Man, that's back when about $8 for the meat and about $20 for the hide. That's a pretty good night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They better be glad they don't pay that right now.
Oh, I wish they did because we got them.
I'm telling you, that's the same thing with us. My hog dogs will be getting some coon pretty quick, I bet you.
I guess what I'm saying is you don't dictate what kind of hunting that dog's going to do. He dictates what kind of.
Yeah. And you might have to. Yeah, you might have to give him the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
To show you. You know, if you don't know that dog or rig, well, you know, you might want to try.
Now I had some mates to goose. They weren't in the same litter, but they was, same mom and daddy later.
Yeah.
But I got them when they was real little. They wouldn't mind. When I told the man I'd train them, I thought they was like a year old. They was about 4 months old. And I'm like, man, God, man, I'm going to have to raise them first. Yeah. But I told Randy I'd do it. So I did it. And, I was glad I did because I had some Walker puppies about the same age. So I just put them in there with Walker puppies and never told them they was bay pen bred.
Yeah. They didn't know no better.
And I just made sure not to set the hair on them in hot weather. Because I know where plenty of cur dogs is that cast like a Walker dog.
Yep.
But if it's about 85 degrees and up, you don't pressure them like that. You better put them in sign. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to knowing your dog and not expecting him to do something he ain't designed to do to the full extent.
Yep. Say that again, because there's so many that
to the full extent.
Yes, they don't get that part. They're like, oh, I got all these cur dogs and I cast hunt these dogs are cast. They'll get deep. There's a difference in a cur dog cast and a hound cast. And I don't give a damn how good your cur dog is. And I know there's people out there right now that's going to say they got them that'll blow, and that's fine. But it's going to be just very few, I promise.
If a cur dog would run 12 or 14 hours, them old men that pleasure hunting them fox pens would be running them.
That's what they'd be running, exactly. How come we put a little bit of running walker or July or foxhound in a lot of these cur dogs? Well, we don't do the other way around. We don't put a little bit of cur dog in them hounds.
Well, I do if I'm – well,
you do all kind of shit.
Well, here's the deal.
Depends on if you're possum hunting.
Yeah, or mink or whatever, mongoose, whatever jumps up.
That's it.
I like a Jag Terrier type dog. I just want him to be 50 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, even a full July, he ain't gonna run all night. They may be an anomaly. They may be a goose or a crow or a, a rooster or something like that. But he's not consistently gonna run all night if something's pulling on his head. That Julie Pop is gonna give you about 4.5-5 hours of honest running, but now he's gonna give you the same amount of footage Daddy said that old stuff quit. And I said, but that's okay. He done did in half an hour what it's going to take yours all night to do.
So he makes some moves.
Because you can't tell me that them Julie Pops ain't got something in them that goes back to a cur dog, because my stud dog out here, he's only a 5th July. I ain't even DNA'd. He mostly hails bred walker, but he's got some of that thunder in him. And if you're from around Mississippi, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He's brittle. He's brittle and got a piece of a glass eye. Come on.
That's right.
You know, so there's something in there that makes that brindle and that glass eye come out from like way back.
That's right.
And And generally, hey, if I let Jake keep him for a month before the baying, because he knows what he's doing and I don't, he'll 9, 9, or 10 ever run if he don't bite somebody or jump on the other dog.
Yeah.
which is 100% chance he's going to try to bite somebody and jump. That's why I don't run him. But when he was young, 9 or 10 every time I put him in there. And then I turn around and run him for 5 hours in a fox pen.
Yeah.
Week later, same dog. And I didn't get out running either. And he'd pull his pads off his feet because I didn't run him enough. But, mm-hmm.
And that's a thing right there that, like I said, with the question Michael asked is, it says knowing how to hunt a dog in correlation with his strengths. Like you just said, the dog pulled his pads because you didn't run him enough. His strengths was running. You need to hunt him as much as you can. And any dog that you got, you got to hunt them enough to know their strengths first. First off, you got to put that, you know, that's just from my perspective of it. If you don't run him and give him the opportunity, or if you ain't paying attention like he's paying attention to you, you're not going to know how to hunt the dog.
Well, it's just like Rodney Bell asked you, old Estrus, asked you that time, say, why ain't you casting your dogs?
Yeah.
Cast your dogs, and you don't understand. We'll have two different scenarios going on.
That's right. We had them old alligators when we first started hunting together. Rodney had good cast dogs, and they bayed real good. They weren't overly rough or anything. Mine were nothing but rough. And that's what it was hard for us to figure it out. It took us a solid year of really hunting together. And then once we figured it out, dude, like we put it together and we put a lot of porks. We put a lot of pigs in pig heaven, I promise you. And, yeah. But it was also the fact of we hunted all the time as much as we could. And we carried the same dogs and we hunted them in two or three different ways, you know. I might cast mine, and it worked, you know.
It's no different. We one Father's Day, me and Jake, we spent it with Ricky Campbell and his family, and had a big cookout and all that. And we hog hunted the Jake had never hunted the corn. I said, when your dog quits, I know you got a deep bottom dog, but he's gonna quit in his corn because he don't know it yet. And it's going to take all, it's like, if you ever run into tall corn, almost ready, you might as well put a bag of a garbage sack over your head and take off.
Yeah.
It's like running in the mountains. You ain't going to do it very long. But anyway, I said, but don't get mad. Just pick them up and set them down because we'll need them again in a minute. And he didn't understand baying in the palmetto, but he does now. All we did was, is Ricky's dog took him to the river. I said, now when he comes back, we in the woods now.
Yeah, boy, and he
already had realized what I was talking about with the relay.
Mm-hmm.
And within 250 yards, we had a 323-pound hog, and everybody was happy and successful hunt.
That's it.
But had we not picked those dogs up and let them knock themselves out,
mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been knocked out.
And, this is August. This is August in Louisiana. We ain't in no snow-capped mountain, partner. Well, yeah. You can't breathe for the mosquitoes and the humidity. So
that's right.
Knowing what Jack was feeding and knowing what Ricky was feeding, we just put a plan together.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes to be successful.
You got to strategize.
Yep.
Set them up for success.
Yep. You were talking about that earlier, about setting them up for success. And that goes right back to the longevity of everything, of being a good hunter. Of understanding your dogs and the principles and the standards of having this certain dog and what you expect of a dog. But you also got to know what to expect out of yourself, you know. And if you don't put forth the effort to set them up, yeah, you're not going to win.
You don't believe in yourself, how is that dog going to believe in you?
Yep. Like, wouldn't you say last time you said it just goes right down that leash?
Man, it does. It goes right down through the horse's back.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right. If you don't believe it, don't go to their bag. Go watch them bull riding videos from this past weekend. Where mm-hmm. that bull, and he does a little stutter step, and when he normally goes to the right, but he seen that cowboy shift a little bit, and by God, he went to the left and got out running. And just look, old bull's bucking bull of the year several times, and bull of the five. I mean, this thing bucks. It ain't mine. It's somebody else's, because I don't got nothing that good. But and old bull just kind of and dumps him and just walks off. I mean, because he's taking it down through the back,
mm-hmm.
and he seized opportunity when it presented itself.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm gonna get off the subject a little bit. I mean, I'm the same way. Take for instance this old girl, and asking for a friend. Mm-hmm. I'm 51 years old, right? And I'm trying to get this date, but we done went out before, so she's. I don't know why she'd be cautious, but it's been a long time ago.
Imagine that.
Y'all may not believe this, but I ain't always been an upstanding pillar of society.
Oh, now.
So yeah, believe it or not. I mean, I wasn't bad. I was maybe a tad more than thorough.
Yeah.
I'm just thorough now. I was probably completely buck wild in them days.
Yeah, you needed a lot of weed eater string on you.
We'll be back after a quick break.
We would like to interrupt this episode to take a moment to thank our sponsors and friends, the Dixie Doggers Podcast, Southern Cross Cut Gear, Boars and Broads, Hardcore Hog Dogs and Cut Gear, Showtime Premium Pet Food, Animal Housing Solutions, Tuskers Magazine, American Doghorn Association, 4L Kennels, Hogbang.com, The Boar's Nest, Crockett Taxidermy, Mud Creek Hog Bang. A big shout out to all those people and companies who help make us who we are. Thank y'all.
Oh, shit, I needed a spinning chain. Anyway, she's trying to dodge me about going out on this date. And so here's what she said. She said, "You old school, huh? Because I go by the old school. You know, I try to live by the old school ways. Because old people know something, see?
Yep.
The old people know something. They know stuff we don't know. And because they've been there." But she says, "Okay, old school. You ask my mama if it's okay." I'm 51 years old now, mind you. "You ask my mama if it's okay, like the old timey ways, to ask me out."
Oh.
And I pondered that for a long minute.
Yeah.
And then she said, but here's where she messed up. She said, "I'm going to send you her phone number."
Oh.
I said, "Oh, you want me to, I thought she wanted me to go to her house."
Yeah.
Call her on the phone? Boy, this girl fine too, I ain't going to lie. Call Freddy Krueger. Hey, look here. I'll call 911. I'll call anybody she wants me to call. You see what I'm saying? Because the things ain't going to hang up. I ain't got to worry about getting shot.
Yeah, calling's way easier than going over there.
Oh, you want me to call? That's like somebody wanting to sell something for $10,000 right now.
Yeah.
Well, you'll take a check?
Yeah. Like, what kind of check do you want?
But here, I said, okay, so I'll call her and she answers hello. And I said, you know, I ain't in this voice. I kind of go, "Hey, ma'am, how you doing?" You know, like that.
Yeah.
And then she recognized, and then nobody got a voice as bad as mine. And she knew exactly who she was talking to. And so since she decided to do that, I decided to go and set myself up for a lot of success. Mm-hmm. So I just asked her mama about a rodeo coming up in 3 weeks. Uh-huh. So now I got him, and the mama said, of course, it'd be fine. And we got a big laugh out of it. And I talked to her mom about 45 minutes. And when I called her back, she was like, "You dirty right." You know what I did. You know? So now I got her hemmed up for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah. Set her up for success. You set yourself up for success.
Yeah, I set myself up for success. Yeah. Hey, look here. I can't say nothing too bad. Well, I hope we ain't cuss too much on here because I'm still under them rules.
Yeah.
Because it's for me.
I don't think you said nothing.
Trying, but you remember Lonesome Dove when old Gus, when she said he cheated, you know, and he says, "I ain't going to say I did, but I ain't going to say I didn't."
Mm-hmm.
But a man that wouldn't cheat for a poke don't want a poke very bad.
That's right. He's exactly right.
And so a man that wouldn't cheat for his dog, That's like me. I'm already winning the Shankathon. I'm in the lead.
Oh, yeah. You just got a little jump start on.
I mean, a man that wouldn't cheat to win don't want to win very bad.
And, you know, I've had people, they're like, "Well, what if somebody cheats?" I said, "Well, I guess they're going to cheat. I don't know what to tell you." I mean, that's.
I catch them disqualified.
Yeah,
everybody's like, "Well, they could cheat like this." I'll be like, "Well, how about this, buddy? you do that.
Well, you know,
you try and cheat.
Yeah, you try and cheat. We'll see how it works. Do it.
I will never enter the Shankathon.
Oh, no.
Because we're friends. And I'm on his podcast, and I just know people. And I.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I ain't no, hey, look, I ain't no winner. You know, I'm a big rodeo star. No, I work the gate and feed the bulls.
That's right.
I love rodeo. I do. I swear I do. But I just ain't no good at it.
I'm like that with basketball. I love basketball, but I am not worth a damn.
I mean, have you seen my arms? I look like a T-Rex. How far you think I can throw a rope?
I don't. I'd like to see it though. I mean, I've seen you rope. No, I'm talking about live action. I've seen you roping on a dummy now. So I've seen you do that. So
yeah, maybe I look a little bit better than I'm carrying on.
I was going to say maybe you full of something there a little bit, but you know.
Me and old lawnmower guy, we cleaned them out last year, but I didn't bring a dummy this year because of the and that's because it goes back to the question that partner had about why we look that funny.
Yep.
I mean, Uncle Earl's the biggest dog show in the world, and you got us clowning in the background like we 12 years old.
Yep.
And that's why we had no drinking in the pen, and we ain't trying to catch up with the other hunters. We're just trying to better ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the dogs will take you down the leash, and they'll get better, and everything will get better.
Yes, sir.
We
had a talking about stuff, you know, about that. We had a question from Benji Nobles out of Omaha, Georgia. He brought up something, and I asked you about it before we started, because this is something that's kind of, you know, I've never really dealt with a whole lot. His question was thoughts on a dog that would be a cull in the woods but is a hell of a producer. He also wanted to know if, you know, we want to touch on bird dog crosses. But I just thought about the having a dog that was a cull in the woods, but it's a hell of a producer. You know, how do you feel about having a stud dog or a brood gyp that just ain't doing it in the woods, but she produces dogs that will?
Okay, I want to say this before we talk about what we already talked about.
Yeah.
If that dog is a cull in the woods and is a producer, and you had it since a puppy, stop in your tracks, mm-hmm, and figure out where you messed up.
There you go.
Because it is impossible for it to be one and not the other.
Yep.
That goes back to the acorn. Remember the acorn?
Yep.
You didn't water it right.
Everything was already there.
It was there. I promise you, it can't be there. And I said, how you learn to start dogs so good? I said, by messing the first 100 up and keeping a journal.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel that way? Am I making sense?
No, that's exactly, I'm the same way. If you're not learning, first off, you ain't messed nothing up, which to me brings the fact that you probably got a dog or two that you either got really lucky with, and you hadn't had very many dogs, or you get dogs from other people who have done all the work. You know, because I messed up a bunch. I messed up a bunch. Damn near. Hell, thought I did it last week before last. I sure did. Boy. But like I said.
Now that's on the female side. That's on the female side.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Now on the male side, what about it?
It may just be that you picked the right female when you bred it, because the hotter and the better the female, I feel this is just my perspective, guys, because of seeing hundreds and hundreds of litters and studying this. I don't watch basketball, baseball. I don't know who plays for LSU. I don't know Texas. The only Dallas Cowboys I know is Jerry Jones, because I worked for him 3 or 4 years over there for Comstock Oil. I couldn't tell you who the quarterback was nowhere. Terry Bradshaw, how long ago? But that's because he got quarter horses up there. Not fire. I study dogs. Yeah. Okay, here's what I found. This is my perspective. The hotter the female, the less of a male you need, because it'll cross itself out.
Yeah.
It, the chromosome somehow or another, somebody like Shanley, the little dog show girl, or somebody that knows them big, big words, they can probably explain it. But it's, it has to do with a word called heterozygous. Now, the male needs to be consistent. I would rather be to a third place every time I go somewhere, top dog.
Yep.
And that then Goose. Mm-hmm. But now saying that to say this, people says, oh, Goose ain't a producer. You know what? Yeah. I did. I just don't think he's ever been bred right. I think he's been bred too good. Like the Gyps are good as, the Gyps are about good as him. And it just, it crosses something out.
Yeah, it's like it's got too much. And it just, I see exactly what you're saying. That's the only way.
You ever seen, you know who Ted Kaczynski is?
Yes, I do.
Yes, the Unabomber.
You will. Okay, that's the Unabomber.
Yeah.
One of the smartest men in the world.
Without a doubt, some bitch is extremely smart.
But we'll mail you a bomb in a minute.
Yeah, and say, hey, it's for me. Ha ha.
And the thing is, he just wounded so many people. It's like you couldn't even build a good bomb.
Yeah, it's like it's crazy. That's a good bomb,
right? Hannibal Lecter is a made-up character.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, sort of, in a way. Like from different people, but one of the smartest, intelligent men ever walked the face of Earth. It's just when you get too much, it can't function normally.
Because of hindrance.
Yeah. You've heard people.
I believe that at all. That's the only way I can explain it.
No, I that's what I'm saying. You've heard people say, "Well, they're so smart, they're crazy," or that person's so smart, they're stupid, you know, or something like that. It's like there's so much going on. They have so much in it there. Like you said, it crosses out the most common stuff. The easy stuff, it disables it.
It they don't know how to function normally. Yeah. Okay, we don't, like Jake said, there's no such thing as a dog trainer. That dog, that's his normal function. When you breed a hog dog, is to run and bay hogs.
Yeah.
So that, I think that crosses, it's just too much, and he just, you know, they say I'm a real smart guy. A lot of people says that. Government test they gave me said that. Mm-hmm. I say I've done a lot of dumb crap to be a smart man then.
Mm-hmm.
But
I understand.
Like an old lady told me one time, she had zero education, and I was struggling with life, and she said, "Son, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it." Huh?
Yeah.
Is that not profound?
No, that's...
Yeah, that's profound.
That's it.
It's Mount Smoke, you couldn't climb it.
That's right.
So, I think you can overdo it when you're breeding dogs. So, if this dog is a producer, it was in there.
Mm-hmm.
It can't produce and it not been in there. It can't pass on something it didn't have.
Yeah, that's what I said. The question kind of... I see where he was going with Benji. I see where I'm gonna have to learn how to do this. This is something still new to me as well. So y'all bear with me. I keep forgetting that I'm talking to Benji as well. Benji, you're listening. So I understood the question that you were asking. But like I said, I even asked Uncle Pat too. I was like, because I had never been in that position. I've always had a male or female that was in the woods first, and they had to be proven there before I would keep them. And then then they were a producer after that. So I was just kind of caught off with that, but Pat's put it into a whole nother perspective part on there. Cause there are some dogs that I know guys that have kept dogs that wouldn't up to par, and they're like, well, I'm just going to breed to it. But I didn't see that no reason to breed to it because it had never shown anything.
I was sitting at a ground one time up on the hill, and I had Floyd Boudreaux himself there. He had come up there with me, and he, boy, he's like everybody's papa. He's just a great guy and just a wealth of knowledge, and he was signing autographs and talking and carrying on. And this guy said, I said, what you gonna do with that dog? And he said, can I put in your dog box to get ready to go? I said, yeah, go ahead. And he says, oh, it ain't no good for nothing. I'm just gonna use it for breeding because of the pedigree. I don't know anybody in my dog box.
So why would you breed for just the pedigree only if the dog is no good?
I always go back to the dog rollers.
Yeah.
And I'm not a dog roller, but it's just because they've been at it so much longer. Hog bays ain't been around for 30 years, and they've been around hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of dog rollers have been. Mm-hmm. And like the most profound one, or the most famous one, I think his name's on every set of papers. If you look back for another, Earl Tudor, the Oklahoma kid. Mm-hmm. And he said it two things. He said a dog had to win two in the fast lane before he ever looked at the pedigree. And he also said, if you're willing to argue a dog's worth over something wrote on a piece of paper, just go on and chalk yourself up for a win and leave me alone, because I don't have time for your ignorance.
Yeah, because that's what's on the paper.
Yeah,
I get that. That can be, people get lost in that. They get caught up in it, and then they get lost in it. They're like, well, this paper, this dog says this, this, and this. And I was like, from the bulldog world as well, you know, it's like, do you think every one of those papers is 100%? You think they're going to give you the recipe to beat them with?
I guarantee you, probably not.
Are
Pat
you crazy?
Old Pat will never give you a stick to hit him over the head with.
Exactly. There's a guy that was breeding high terriers. He went and done the whole thing. His name is Josh Neff, and he has done an outstanding job at what he's doing. But he kept inquiring, wanting to know where I got mine from. Where'd you get your dogs from? How'd you do this and how'd you do that? And I just never would give him any information. And he really didn't understand why, you know. And I was like, well, the ones I have, nobody else has nothing like I've got. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, what I've done. I done put all these years and time and effort in it. So, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
And hey,
we talk.
The guy has done it, and he's done it right. And my hat's off to him. And I'll talk to him some now. You know what I mean? I know he's serious about it.
Well, he showed you his worth.
Exactly. He showed me his worth. Exactly. And that doesn't mean shit to nobody, really. They don't have to prove themselves to me for any reason, unless you need for something.
So going back to what we said earlier about 9.8 being the low end and 10 being the high end, and 140 dogs in the world's biggest push.
Yep.
Of the so-called hog band world, there ain't a lot of bad dogs out there.
No.
So if the dog, see where you did wrong. You know how I know that? Because that's what I done. If a dog don't go, I first look at myself. It's self-accountability. If you round people and they steady making excuses for all their problems, stay away from such.
Yep.
Because their dogs are going to be that way, and they're going to be making it. Well, yeah, look, I'm finna get beat over the head with a barrel for saying this. But if some girl don't win a barrel race, and it's because the music was too loud, the lights was too bright, was too deep, we didn't grade this right, we didn't do that right, the flag man was out of kilter, but it was probably because she was drunk.
Yep. Yeah, ain't no doubt.
I'm just saying, I ain't saying, you know, but I just use that as an example. Barrel racers, please don't, because y'all ride something I'm not getting on. I get on a bucking horse before I get on one of them barrel horses today, man. I sat down there. I used to work that outgate where they turn that last barrel and they head out full blast. No, sir. You ain't running that 1,100-pound, 1,200-pound missile at me, because I already know he's a fool, because he's been bucking out there and jumping and running up the whole time. He's been trying to warm him up. I'm not standing up there working that gate.
Hell no. You. Hey, this I had somebody send me a message and ask a question.
Okay.
And they don't know that we're recording or anything. So apparently, you know, what we're doing is working without a doubt. Nathan Brooks out of around Blackshear, Georgia.
Hey, I know him.
I think he had a lot of Boyle stuff. He had a lot of Boyle stuff on Bulldogs. But he's got a lot of Kerr Dogs stuff too. He said, "Here, I got a question for you and Unc." He said, "Is dog's baying style instinct and breeding, or is the style a learned thing that they develop from practice and experience?" He said, "In example, goose's sidestep move." He said, "Or how tight that they bay, or how loose that they bay. How much of it is just instinct, and how much is learned from experience?" And he put a little thing up under it. It said, "You know, going back to the bulldog world, and this in no form, shape, or fashion do we condone any dog fighting at all. This is decades ago. Some dogs.
This is history. This is history.
Yeah, this is history." It said, "I know back when bulldogs, you know, when you schooled prospects, there were different style dogs. Some were leg dogs, some liked to stifle, some liked to head, and some were chest dogs." He said, "You always would school with different dogs, so the prospect would know what to do with other style of dogs."
He just answered his own question. My answer to that is, it's 100% bred style till he gets cut.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, it's adaptation.
Okay.
From lessons learned.
Yeah.
So he answered his own question. This is why I love studying the bulldog world.
Yep.
He really did.
I think he was just trying to see if it was, you know, if it was the same thing in the bay dog world, in the bay pen stuff, you know. That was his question there, you know. And I felt like you too. When I read the rest of it, I was like, well, hell, that's a, you know, he kind of answered it too. But I mean,
yeah.
It's good that we have people sending these in and asking us, you know.
Okay. I'm going to use Randy Durrell for an example.
You like old Randy, don't you? You love Randy.
He's one of the best guys around the bay pen. He headbutts thorn trees and stuff when he hunts. You got to be careful. Let me stick a thorn in my head. Peeking at him.
Yeah, but that's what happened.
The reason I'm going to use him is because everybody does know who Goose is.
That's right.
Goose Jr. I was on the hunts that started Goose Jr., so I can use him as an example. He was a 9'8", 9'9", 10 baying puppy, and Randy started hunting him in the woods, and Randy get like, "Well, he ain't going to be worth the crap. Randy, we've been here 4 minutes. And they broke, and a bunch of shoats come out by us, and he seen one, and the race was on. And he never tried to bait it, but he didn't know how to catch it because he never caught one. But it just kept breaking. I finally got him a little help in there, and when he tried to catch them with his yard dogs, I got they helped me, and we caught all. Well, that's a shoat.
Yeah.
Randy goes, "Oh, so Goose Jr., he's got his style now. No bark, all bite." Well, guess what? It's better than my man.
Had to learn that adaptation part.
That adaptation part, and Goose Jr. run a 9'4" ever since. Because he run that bait and he looked side to side from that point forward to see if something else was going up.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So he was born a 9'9", 10 puppy.
And see, I would think the other way around.
Jason made him a 9'4".
See, now I would think the other way around. I think he's a 9'9" or a 10 dog now because he's looking to see what's happening. He's like, "Hey, I got to watch out, you know."
Okay, that's a whole nother.
I
got them judges off my case, man.
Me and Rusty was talking about having a woods dog event. And that's what he was like. He said, "Man, we'll have to, because I want to do something different on some of the scoring and the judging." And he was like, "Well, man, we'll have to do it the same as the pro dogs, but everybody will just have to bring a picture of that certain dog with a dead hog. And I was like, yeah, you know, hey, that would cut the mustard there. That'd be all right. But I still would like to see a little different style.
We know who hunt. Just, hey, here's what we need to do. And I propose this to Jake. We just cannot have, because it's only, Oklahoma's is a week. If the good Lord had added an eighth day to the week, we could have a woods dog class for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And look, people, it's just, but if you could get somebody like Rusty Mashmore, May Shore.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. To have a woods, it had to be a complete woods only band.
That's what we're talking about. Just woods dogs only. No pro dogs of any kind.
And you're gonna have to have two or three people saying, not just you, two or three people saying they call it. Not because I know a lot of people like me. I got a 40-acre high fence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty tough in there at times. Ask Carter, it was rough on him till he got a better dog.
Yeah. Hey, people because don't understand
it. Well, the only reason was it was 100 degrees, and, you know, they just wasn't ready for that. But anyway, he's got it now, I can promise you.
That's right.
You know what a little chips-looking sale sent me? A video being about a – and this chip was pretty much straight catch on a little hog when he got it from me. And I didn't breed the dog, so don't be thinking I did nothing. This Randy Dinger bred the dog.
Yeah.
I just started it for Carter. And she's baying this 40 or 50 pounder. Looks like my, you know, videos, it's hard to tell. And I didn't have my glove. But she's baying him about 5 or 6, 8 foot back.
Yep.
And he's caught hog. Let's go.
Yep.
Here she comes.
She comes right on out.
Little bastard.
Yeah.
Copycat and ass.
And that's what. You know, we talk about the handle on dogs and stuff. That's, man, it just takes time. It takes effort. You know, Nate's got his. He's got his where he can call him out. Yesterday, what, 4 out of 5 times?
Yeah, he just didn't want to come out on the 5th time.
Yeah, but, I mean.
So to say this, she was born a straight catch dog.
Yeah.
And now she is a call him off 8 mm-hmm. feet back.
First time we hunted with her, she was still pretty much all catch, wasn't she?
Yeah, I imagine.
She was real rough anyway, so.
Yeah, y'all take this into consideration. She ain't 2 years old yet.
Yeah. And that's something we've been on a bunch of hogs.
I think she's caught a hog in every state that has a hog in it.
Yeah.
And she was the test. You know, I'm old school.
That's right.
She was the test to see if they were worthy. And then I gave Ryan, Napoleon Dynamite's uncle, Rico, the football star.
Yeah.
When he ain't selling Tupperware to lonely housewives. I don't want to hurt Carter's feelings, but the honey dogs are cut above. In every aspect.
Yeah.
Now, what Ryan does with her, I don't know. I don't really. He's already happy with her the way he talks.
Oh, yeah.
So, I ain't tooting my own horn. I'm talking about them dogs because I know them.
Yeah.
If I know somebody else's dogs, I talk about them.
Well, and look, going to that right there, what did you just said something that shows what dog men should do? Is you said, I didn't breed that dog. That's, you know, Randy Dingler done that. And anybody that knows anything, they know who Randy Dingler is. So, you know, that's why you should do it. People should give other people props and give them respect, because there's too many people in the world today. First thing they would do is say, yeah, I had that dog and I sent it to Carter and blah, blah, blah. They never would mention Randy's name, you know? So y'all people listening that are new to the stuff, take that in consideration.
And that goes back to, Ryan's question about why we looked at as the bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
Is because pride.
Yep.
Pride. Hey, look, just call it as it is and God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give a damn.
I had a guy call me the other day and ask about a puppy. It's somebody else's dogs. They had a litter, and me and that guy do not get along. And he said, oh, he said, I didn't know y'all didn't get. He asked me about the guy, and I was like, well, I ain't got a whole lot to say. He said, oh, man, I didn't know that. And I said, but I'm going to tell you, if you can get one of them dogs, you need to get one. He said, well, I thought you didn't like him. I said, they ain't got a damn thing to do with them dogs.
Hey, boy.
He stopped for a second. He said, hell, I hear you. I said, look, if he's offering you one and you need one, you need to get it. I said, because he's producing top-notch stuff. And he is. You know, that ain't got nothing to do with whether we get along or not.
That's right, and it goes back to style now. Mm-hmm. Don't come over here wanting one of these dogs. And it goes back to the story I tell on Ed, and I shouldn't tell on Ed. Ed's one of the smartest men I know and one of the best guys. And if he's your friend, I'm talking about, I ain't going to say Ed ever did anything wrong, but I'm telling you, if you go through a door and it's a bad situation, Ed might be the kind of guy that would hit the first one in the face with a dog lead.
Yep.
With the 2-3 snaps on him with the big heavy chain.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say he'd do something like that, but I'm saying duck when you come in because it's like a helicopter. It don't sound pretty. And it didn't work out so good for the man answering the door.
That's it. And that's the kind of friends you need.
So the first time we talked about this last podcast. First time I let Ed have one of the long range dogs, he shot it. it was a little sketchy.
Yeah.
But it ain't coming back, partner. You run it now.
Yeah.
So if y'all get a puppy from me and you don't keep it till it's 18 months old trying it or whatever, you don't ever have to worry about it again. If you tell me that puppy didn't make it at this point in time, you ain't gonna get it done. Because if that didn't make it, the next one ain't either.
Yeah, it's you gotta evaluate the situation. Who's doing it?
My ex, soon to be, I should not be my ex wife, but now I ain't checked the mail. I caught that on Monday. If you can't laugh at yourself, ain't nobody else gonna let you laugh at them.
That's right.
They ain't gonna get offended. She wanted me to call this little old puppy, and it's I guess it's getting close to a year old. I don't know. It's off generally in a good bitch I stole from Tanner Herd. Like a poaching style Kimmer buttermilk brindle cross.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call her biscuits and sausage gravy. Anyway.
Where do you come up with these names?
I don't know. Anyway, she wanted me 2 or 3 months because it didn't start. Well, I had to keep remembering that my dogs ain't in no pen ever. So sometimes they start at 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, they try to holler them off. I ain't say he started, but he tried to. And sometimes they lay around till they're a year, 13 months old. Mm-hmm. And yesterday morning, I seen her running a deer the other day, but she wasn't barking a whole lot. But yesterday morning when I caught a hog weighed about 450 and had 7-inch teeth.
Oh,
you know, I got that book. I got that book that guesses the weight.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I devise weight. If somebody comes in with a 455, I'm going to have to go reevaluate the skeleton.
Yeah, that's
right. He's
going
to be 470.
That's right.
No, in all honesty, he might have been too much. That hog's shield on his right side had zero hair on it all the way to the backbone.
Oh, Lord, that's old.
Yes, sir. Old dude. But what raked him up that high had to be a good bit taller than him.
Yeah.
That let me know I didn't get the bull of the wood. I didn't get old baloney foot. You know what I'm saying?
No, because that right there, if he's that big and he ain't got no damn hair up that high.
Something, you know, because that nose is a lot lower than that shoulder. So them pigs, you know, they jump when they do that raking.
Oh, yeah.
He was raked. It looked like Bruce Ford, the Colorado Cowboy, done spurred him out. I mean, he was raked all in top of the backbone. So that let me know that I didn't get the bull of the woods. I got a straggler, and I probably could have went back this morning. But I'm going to wait on my partners to hunt this weekend. What am I going to do with another hog?
Yeah.
I'm just going to shoot it.
That's right. You got.
I'm going to put a disclaimer in. If you watch that video on Facebook, there was no piggy sow, shoat, nor piglets harmed in the making of that video. and they won't be in the next meeting.
There you go.
But
big balls.
I don't know. He was long as me, but I'm only about 5 foot nothing, about 5'7" or something. I'm telling Randy Durrell, that's all that matters. Shit. But she wanted me to call that young dog.
Yeah.
Because these other ones is going and she ain't. And I just kept on and on and on. And I heard something in there yesterday. But I figure she's barking on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's looking at that rascal.
Yeah.
My dogs bark on the track because they looking at him while they run. You don't believe me? Go look on Facebook. That hog cross that road like a bowling ball being rolled across it. And the dog running beside him.
Oh.
I didn't just go down there to the fox pen and try to get some old something that's trying to sell.
Yeah.
I went to the world champion.
That's exactly right. Like you said, that's...
Okay. I didn't go get a piece of paper and read it. I went to the son of a gun that was winning the side-by-sides.
Yeah.
He was winning trucks. And speed and drive.
Something that's speed consistent. Something that's consistently winning.
And look here, and not in the 4 or 5 hour guys. Not in a Saturday morning, because a chemical can do that.
Yep.
You don't believe me? Come by here.
So he went to the where you drive.
The 3 day hunt, guys. I was saying
the 3 day hunt, dude. I didn't know there was all that involved. And we started going. I was like, son of a gun. Like there's some high powered dogs there. That's a whole different deal.
Him it is. It's a whole different type of dog.
Yeah, I mean they're running 8 hours at double digit speed, and it and they want more. Like you ain't turning them off. They're not coming back to the truck.
That's right. And I hung around John Bunn. He's one of the sharpest Illinois guys for Showtime Dog Feed.
Mm-hmm.
He owned KP and JP.
Yep.
When the guy that bought JP from him, I'm not for sure, 10 or 15 pounds, I don't know what he got, but he didn't want to sell KP. KP always would outplace JP, but JP was faster.
Yeah. See, that's where I got mine from. John Blanton.
Oh, you got it from John too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Y'all wondering why he got running. I forgot about that. But anyway, I think William Lewis, my little cousin, kennel partner over in Louisiana, he's still running in field trials a bit. I think John's going to allow him to put a KP down here in the South for a little while and study him out. I ain't throwing no commercial out there for John. Whatever John's charged up, $250, $300, whatever. But I can tell you this, the guy that bought JP, it put him straight in the winner's circle. Mm-hmm. And then he had a car wreck. And I think we talked about this on the last podcast. And he went out over on the East Coast and the guy done bred the dog and done one a side-by-side and this and another. But KP would always beat JP. This is what John told me because he was more consistent.
Yeah.
JP couldn't hold a track as good. And over a 3 day period, he would outscore him. So that goes back to the stay on track, guys, to stay focused.
Mm-hmm. And that's that's a whole spectrum, what you just said. And that correlates to every story and every question, every answer that we've talked about, staying on track.
Don't let, if you're going to have an emotional reaction to everything that comes along negative, don't ask me for a dog. Because I can promise you, they're going to test your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be logical in everything you do. And don't believe me, that's in the Bible somewhere. I don't know where. It's in there, though. When David was having a problem in the Bible, God would always tell him one thing: be still.
And know.
Be still. That's right. Be still and know. And it's no different in these dogs. The more I got stealed and let my daddy was my daddy didn't understand the Bible like that, but he knew dogs. I mean, it's what he did. So he just knew to let them be a dog, get out of their way. And one time, I had a good bitch. Boy, she was, nice. I don't even remember who ended up with her. I gave her away just because I needed room to start some more dogs. But we was out there hunting in Savannah, Georgia with Too Tight. You know old Too Tight?
Too Tight. Yeah.
What's his name?
Philip Dixon.
Yeah. And Zach Alford.
Somebody
keeps
trying to call me. I don't know who's calling me. I'm sorry, Pat. Go ahead. Somebody keeps trying to call
me. Anyway, and Jim wasn't hunting good. Mm-hmm. And Jake kept telling me that I was in her way. She kept looking. I mean, I was like, I didn't want to go out there and get out and run. You know, I didn't. So I had a little fear in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, don't. The reason you asked me, are they out of good dogs, is you scared you're going to get screwed again. Don't come here with no lack of faith. They going to run. If they don't get on to me. Go look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And that's in everything you do, guys. Don't make excuses for your dogs. Just let them be dogs, and they're going to do better. They will do better. If you got fear, that fear will go down the leash, and that's why that dog won't leave your feet. He keeps looking to you for direction because he's scared. Because you didn't do your part beforehand.
Yep.
It'll always be our fault. It'll never be the dog's fault.
I agree. And it took me a long time to – I didn't have a lot of people in the hunting side of it. That, you know, after I got my own stuff going, that I would even talk to. I was, like you said, I was too proudful, or one thing was I didn't want to bother anybody in one aspect, but I just had to learn a lot of stuff the hard way. And the hardest thing was for me was like trying to make a dog do something. And I'm like, it just sometimes they would do some a little bit, and but over a period of years, the more I tried, the harder it was. And then when I finally just stopped, the dogs got better. And then I was like, man, these dogs are way better. And I realized, I said, it's the same damn dogs. I stopped dogs screwing them up. Yeah, I had to change. And it takes a lot, that ego. And we got to set that stuff aside, man. It'll hinder you. It'll hold you back.
Oh, my God. It's the only thing that will hold us back is to be offended at the dog or offended at each other.
That's
the only trick the devil has is offense. And you know, the word offense in the Greek goes back to being inside of a fence. Trapped. Fenced in. That's what offended means, to be fenced in. So if everything somebody says offends you, well, you're dumber than him. You're sitting here letting him control your life.
Yeah, it can consume a human being, you know, man, woman, child, or whatever, anything like that can. Especially a man that's got a little bit of gumption about himself. You can let somebody else ruin everything.
That's why you got to be so selective when you go hunt. You want good dogs.
Yep.
You got to select good people to hunt around. Because all that's contagious. Hey, go through the grocery store and smile at somebody. I bet you 100 they smile back. You can smile at Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. And he might still stick you with a knife in a minute. Because he's Freddy Krueger and he's crazy. But he will smile back first. Yep. He cannot. It's contagious.
You're talking about that being selective deal there. I know a guy. His name's Heath Calicott. And he was going to hunt a tournament. And he had talked to... There was a couple – I'm trying to remember the whole story correct, and I hope I get it close. Heath, if you're listening, I apologize if I mess it up. But anyway, somebody wanted to hunt with him, and he told him, he was like, man, we just can't do it. He said, why? Said, our dogs ain't the same. Two different style dogs ain't going to work. And he was like, oh, so you're going to go hunt with so-and-so? He was like, yeah, man, that's because we hunt the same way. And the other guy really wasn't understanding what Heath was saying. He thought that he just didn't want to hunt with him, you know. And it wasn't that.
Well, it's not personal.
He was wanting, first off, he was wanting to win the tournament and with his dogs. And if you're going to do that, you have to set yourself up for success as well as your dogs. And like you said, if you're confident and you're a little bit cerebral and you think about stuff and try to line it out, your chances of success are a hell of a lot higher than if you just jump in the truck and take off.
Hey, look, this is kind of off subject, but hey, you seen that ad on Facebook? I've been getting it, like, I guess because I'm old. It's called Him.
Oh.
Be sex ready 24/7 for less than $2 a day.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm already 25/8.
And how much a day is it, though? Oh.
Man, $2 a day could kill me.
Yeah.
I could die.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
But it goes back to the placebo effect of taking something thinking it's helping you. So if I say something to somebody and they think that they look up to me for some odd reason, it'll work for them just because they believe it.
Yep. It's that confidence.
That confidence goes down that leash to that dog, and it calms everybody down. And it just, that's why I set them up for success.
Yep.
It's not for the dog. It's for me to be calm,
mm-hmm.
knowing I'm doing my part.
That's right. And it works. Like you said, it travels down that leash, and everything will get better. Like that. I mean, the calmer you are and the more you let a dog be a dog. And you might not have a hog dog, you know. It might be a damn rabbit dog or it might be a deer dog. You know.
Yeah.
So you can't get in the way. Sometimes you just got to let them do it. And if that's not what you want, well, then you got to start over with something different.
I promise you, you don't never have to shock a dog off of trash.
Right on.
You should never have to shock him. You can, but you're going to hinder him.
Yep.
You're going to hinder him in the long run. Just, there's ways to do it without beating him.
Yep.
Which now I kicked my dog in the dog show here before last night, girls. But what everybody didn't see was he was trying to bite me.
Yeah. That's right.
He had done had enough of being around there. I mean, he done got nervous and I accidentally moved too quick and he turned. And me knowing my dog, I mostly just picked my foot up and he run into it because he was finna grab me.
Yeah, he was done got stressed out. He was like, I don't like all this.
If with every blessing we have in life, comes a burden.
Mm-hmm.
So you want long range dogs.
Yeah.
There's a downside to that. You're going to end up like me last two Sundays ago in a fist fight over there something when you was actually trying to help people. But anyway, you got to be a little closer to Jesus because you got to be able to, you can't have them emotional reactions like that.
Yeah.
Okay. People says, well, I want rough dogs. I don't want to bay nothing. I like to catch dogs, not run them. Okay, well, the burden to that is being able to run the 40 in 3.5 seconds.
Yeah. And when you get older, that's...
Running the 400 is the problem. The 40 ain't too much of a problem.
I was going to say, and every time we, you know, when we first started out with a rough dogs like that, running catch dogs, Pat, it was usually less than 200 yards from where we dropped. We would have them stopped. And then it got to where evolution happened. Hogs started evolving. They started running further. The last ones that they was what, half a mile? Some of the last ones. I mean, they just kept getting further. And I was like, I can't get to them quick enough. And it's ridiculous. So you know what you got to do? You got to put your ego to the side and you got to use your mind and you got to adapt. And so I went back to what worked all the years before. We use a bay dog. And a bulldog, and it works. Which, I mean, we've always had dogs that would bay. We had some that just didn't bay much. And we had, then the rest of them, they didn't, you know, they were just rough dogs. But it,
Like my old daddy always says,
there's a heavy burden with
it. I didn't understand as good as I understand now. He said, just keep waking up. You'll see.
Yeah.
The things that make you adapt the most is called age.
Amen.
Age.
Amen.
Age will make you look at your whole card a little bit different.
Without a doubt. You got less time for a bunch of junk and a bunch of bull to put up with, and you won't, and you can't say, well, I won't, I got more time, because you don't. You ain't got more time. You tend to use your time more wisely and efficiently.
I went out with this girl a while back, not long ago, and the only thing I told her was, don't make me feel like you're wasting my time. Because I can make more money. I can breed more dogs. I can rope more cows. I can do all that. But the one thing I can't do is make more time.
Yep. And it goes fast.
And that's why, you know, I was the best thing to her since sliced bread, because I just went ahead and jumped through hoops. She didn't understand why I just went ahead and jumped through hoops was, I didn't have time to prove myself.
Yep. Go on and get this stuff over. We'll get you on the road.
And she figured out one thing the hard way. It's like when I always use the Bible for everything. It's like when Samaria didn't have room for Jesus and the disciple wanted to drop fire on him, you know. And Jesus said, I just said, no, we just find another village. And he knocked the dirt off his shoes. And that symbolic is he didn't bring the past with him when he left stepping partner. That's what I did, too. I just found me a new village, and I didn't bring nothing old with me when I went.
That's right. Get ahead.
That's it. If you ain't the lead dog, or what those saying say, the scenery never changes.
That's it. Always looking at.
And if you're going to be a cat, be a lion. Them hyenas out there laughing, he has zero emotional reaction to that, laying on that bush. You ever watch that National Geographic?
Oh, yeah. He ain't worried about nothing.
He ain't worried about nothing. They laughing and carrying on. And look at him. He don't even pick his head up. Nope. You know? But you let that old she lion, let that certain wow sound. I don't even know how to go. Hey, look.
Sounded close.
He ain't but one thing then, partner. All business.
That's right. Rodney Bell says, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly.
Yes, indeed.
That's what he says, indeed. Be a grizzly.
That's right.
Yeah, they're the same Bale. Ways. You know, old grizzly bear, he ain't worried about nothing. He eat a little bit, lay around. But when that old girl, she's got that little black stain under that tail.
Oh, you take that old she grizz.
That's right.
Yeah, she won't bother you at all. Let one of them cubs get too close.
Oh, yeah.
She not going to get on to that cub.
Did you see where that one tried to attack that truck the other day on Facebook? That damn grizzly bear turned around and tried to get that truck. I said, that's what happened.
Hey, look. It's never that cub's fault. You know, mama used to jerk me up and beat the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I would, you know, I probably got a few of them.
That's probably a rare thing in this day and age. I don't know if they're handed out.
But that grizz don't think like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's your fault for being too close.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. But
you reckon this has been entertaining?
I think it has been. I know it's been informative as hell. We got a lot of information out there. We answered some questions. We talked on some topics. We talked about hunting dogs and bulldogs and loving and leaving and the good Lord. Yeah. And we talked about a little bit of all of it.
Hey, look, man, the reason why I always, you know, they copycat podcasters out there.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I was told one time? You ain't going to believe this.
What's that?
You ain't going to believe this. What a guy told me one time. He said, we're going to record a podcast today, but we don't want you on it.
Oh, Lord. Well,
I was leaving anyway. I didn't care. I done won all I needed to win. I done tore their ass up, so I wouldn't worry about him. So, shut up. Because we want it to be a serious one.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm sitting in first place. That's pretty damn serious to me.
Yeah.
If I want to talk to somebody, I'm going to talk to somebody that win. But anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, I can't help. It's true.
No, it is. It's true. There's, and that, like I said, that we appreciate you doing this with us and taking your time out of your life and your schedule, sharing your knowledge with the listeners and stuff. And the listeners, they're loving it. I mean, we've got a shitload of good feedback. And
oh, yeah.
So we're going to keep this thing rolling, man.
The reason I bring up the XYs and the girl and all this stuff, you think it's just for fun, but in reality, if you're in a bad place, don't mess with them dogs that day.
Yeah.
You're going to make bad decisions.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
That's going to go down that leash. That energy is going to come off of you.
And a lot of people, they don't think about that. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't think about it like that. A lot of folks have a bad day and they're like, well, man, I guess I'll just take the dogs. I'm going to go hunt or something like that, get my mind off of it. And then on those days, nothing ever goes right.
I'm going to talk about my mama.
You know what I mean? Wonder why.
Yes, the devil. It's the devil, the pure devil. If mama and daddy wasn't getting along, I stayed clear of both of them. I might not have been a good kid, but I was smart enough to get out of their way.
Yes, sir.
I knew when to shut up.
Yep.
Believe it or not, I can shut up.
I'm the same way.
As Jake and Jaybird, they done learned.
Yeah.
They just turn to me and look, tell me, because I'm a big boy. Mm-hmm. I know they got my best interest in mind.
Yeah.
Solomon said, correct a fool and he'll hate you. Correct a wise man and he'll love you for it. Many days people don't know this, but I'll tell it on myself. If your friends do this, don't get mad at them. Hug them later. But like I said, ain't nobody fights more to hog bait than me and Jaybird.
Yeah. And you know, I'm gay.
We ain't really fighting. He's correcting me.
Yep.
He said, you need to go on. Get on away from me. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I go on till he texts me. When he texts me, I go back up and start again.
But
that's true love. That's love.
Yeah,
that's ethical love right there.
And a lot of, like you said, they're being reciprocal. That's the most important thing.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? We might be having a bad phone signal out here.
I don't know. It probably is. But anyway, that all of that is without a doubt very important. People don't understand that, and they should.
Reason I tell it on myself is we all have problems.
Mm-hmm.
You go across the track in the hood, and I say this because I'm 7% black. What's up, my brother? I did that. Hey, look, don't spend that $19.99 on that DNA or $49, whatever it was, if you any kind of racist or something, because you're going to find out something that's going to break your Nazi heart.
Yeah, it's going to hurt your feelings real bad.
I already knew because of the way I carry myself, and I'm honest with myself. I already knew it was there. I just wanted to know how much. It don't take much of 7%. They got problems across the track, and they got problems in Beverly Hills in them mansions.
Yep.
They got problems on the top of Trump Tower, and they got problems in the Mississippi River Delta in the slums.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got problems.
That's right.
How you deal with them defines who you are.
Yes,
sir. So don't go out there in that. Do not let me see you in that arena being that dog, and you get a bad score you think you shouldn't have got. And you act a fool because I'm going to clown you on this podcast.
Yeah.
And you ain't going to jump on me because I ain't like them other people. We ain't going to wrestle. I'm going to stab your ass. I ain't going to mess around. The reason I'm going to clown you is because I love you.
Mm-hmm. And somebody needs to let you know.
Because we don't need to be the bottom of the barrel anymore.
No, we got to hold each other accountable for our actions.
Hello. And that's something we don't. Everybody got the best hog dog in the world. Just get on Facebook.
Oh, Lord, I know. I see it. I see them all the time.
Oh, I'm going to put mine on there when I catch a big one. You believe that? I'm going to put him on there. But you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to like your picture when you put yours on there.
Yep.
When you win first place, I'm going to be happy for you, except for Randy.
Yeah. Yeah, you ain't gonna be happy for Randy. Good God Almighty. I think you know,
I'll be happy for Hannah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you'd probably be happy for him, for Hannah and the dogs, but not Randy. Like, nope.
Oh, Goose, it's just Randy.
It's just Randy. I got you. I hear you.
I promise you, they ain't a better man at the bay than good hearted.
Without a doubt. That's all good. Hey, when I first met y'all, I think I asked you. I said, you and him not get along? You said, no. No, I asked Jake. I said, them two not get along? He said, no, they're real good friends. I was like, oh, he said, oh, man, they just talking. But that's just on Facebook. They just carrying on. And like I said, now, before I met y'all, I was like, I said, these two right here, boy, they don't like each other. And y'all just, you know, y'all have a discussion. If you don't agree with something, he don't agree with it, or vice versa, whatever. Hey, y'all ain't scared to get it out there.
Oh, no. I mean, Randy always owned both dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never owned a dog that good. Shit. I got these meat hustlers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? If I wanted to breed some Bay Pen dogs, I could. Could I win? Yeah, probably. I don't know. I got a bell buckle on right now from Loco. Me and Johnny White won the Old and Young, and I did it with a dog I bought. It was a coon dog. Jake sued him for 2 weeks. I won me a bell buckle. I'm going to wear it till ain't nothing left.
There you go. Ain't nothing
I'm
wrong with that.
I don't ever have to win another one.
Mm.
I don't ever have to win another one.
Well,
but anyway,
if you get in that shankathon, you could win your belt buckle or anybody listening. Hey, we're gonna have some belt buckles. Huh?
What do you mean get in it? I'm already in the lead.
Yeah, well, I mean win. If you stay in the lead,
yeah,
you'll have to go back to that book and, you know, and adjust accordingly to stay in the lead.
Well, are you gonna have a lot of Texas tests?
Well, it just depends. It just depends. We'll have to see on that. I have to get in my book and check and see. Because
if you lost, I'm going to have to draw out now.
I have to say, because, see, I'll lose a lot of business then.
0% chance of me winning.
Oh, Lord of mercy. You're also a sponsor as well. A lot of people don't, you know, we hadn't even started putting that out there yet. You're also one of the sponsors for the Shankathon as well.
Puppy. If I can keep it alive, it's over.
I got a
very well, like, Ed, man, this thing here is going to be like a lot of heartache. It's going to be a lot of running in his life to donate if I can keep it alive.
There, y'all. Hey, y'all heard that. Uncle Pat, he's gonna put a pup out there. So.
And if something does happen to it, do you a whole breeding. I don't care.
I was going to say, there'll be one in the future, one way or the other, because I guarantee you he's going to have some dogs, and he's going to have puppies, he's going to have young dogs, and he's going to have them from now on, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
That's all you do.
Probably just be best you to tell me what your style of hunting is.
Yeah, just tell him what you need. Yeah, that'll work better.
Yeah, we got about 35 or 40 in this kennel.
Yeah.
And man, I should know, but I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in Williams. I want to say it's probably 40 over there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You ain't in the dog counting business.
I don't want to break my own heart.
I understand.
I had 154 in one kennel at one time, not counting puppies. Mm. And I said I'd never do that again.
That's a lot. God,
it's a lot. It's a lot. And you know what? If I just listened to my old daddy and the other old people, I never would have had that many dogs.
It's amazing how much more it makes sense the older we get, what they say, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, when you're buying a puppy, I know a lot of you guys, you just can't afford it. But the only way to buy puppies is buy the whole litter.
Yep.
We talked about that before, too.
And I think the last two times that we've got anything, if we've got the whole litter, ain't we, Nate?
Yeah.
Three times. Four times. Shit, I don't want to break my own heart either. I'm gonna be quiet. I don't know. It's been quite a few times.
Did your quality improve?
Yeah. On the cur dog stuff, it definitely has.
Yeah.
I think we're headed in the right direction right now with what all we've got.
I feel very confident this summer.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a real good. We got, what, another week? Almost 2 weeks. No, when is it? The 9th. We got 10 days. Oh, shit. We down to 10 days, and then we can hunt again.
Hey, look here.
We're still shut down.
Why y'all can't hunt?
Turkey season.
The landowners won't let us during turkey season.
Yeah. Most of them are turkey.
All the landowners won't let you.
Yep. Most of them are.
I say, because mine run just fine in turkey season.
I know, man. And I'll be honest with you. I hate cell cameras for that reason. I'm not saying I'm trespassing or doing anything wrong, but.
We would never condone that.
Yeah.
All these stories about that stuff is history.
Yeah. When there was no cell cameras, like it didn't seem to matter what time or where. You just go hunt. So.
Why does turkey season go so long? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a turkey hunter, but I've killed 8 or 10 hunting with my buddy just because he was hunting a while ago. And it takes an evening to put him to bed and a morning to kill him.
Yeah.
I have never turkey hunted any more than that. I've hunted less than that because he put him to bed and called me and said, I know where I put him to bed at. And when he wakes up in the morning, we'll kill him. And he was nothing to me.
Yeah,
I showed that to him. Me and Ed was up there hunting one day, and one morning, or we might not be. We might have just been riding around talking. I think we was riding around the turkeys out in the field, springtime, whatever. I said, "What you said?" I went, "Come right up to the Jeep, looking for him." Turkey ain't nud, man. They dumb. People says, "Oh, you gotta have all that, man." Don't be watching all that mess.
I went last year. Is the first time I ever went, and Rodney went. You know, I told him, I said, "Well, I've never even been." Rodney used to turkey hunt a lot, and I was like, "Well, I'll go and just watch and see what happens, how this works." You know, and I think we worked 19 birds, or seen 19 birds that day, and I don't know how many we worked. We worked at least half of that, and like I didn't see what the big deal was. But then again, like I said, I'm not a turkey hunter either, by no means.
Yeah.
Was
anybody else hurting that wreck?
What are you talking about?
Rodney wasn't in a wreck.
Not that I know of, was he? Was Rodney in a wreck?
I ain't down to be in some kind of bad wreck.
Oh. That was when he was real young. I think it was when his mom was pregnant. And she ran into the corner of the cabinet.
That's why I sang that cord was around his neck a little too long.
We're gonna have to get him on here where y'all can talk one night and get some stuff stirred up. Listen, if people don't like Rodney, something wrong with you.
The guy that you told to the point that day, I'm gonna tell this story till I die. I would have been furious if it had been anybody but Rodney Bell.
Yeah.
With the dog in heat. I'd be like, how can you be mad at that?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
That's right.
If you get mad at him, you are not a good human being.
No. I listen, like you're talking about that friendship deal. I was on my high horse one day in just pissy mood, and he was down here and he was at the house, and I don't even know, man, like it was over absolutely nothing. And I just being a smart ass, you know, just everything I said. And you know, after he had left, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, man, I don't even know why I even did, you know, what the hell's wrong with me? I messaged him and told him, I said, hey, man, I tried to call him, which he don't have good phone service. And I told him, I said, man, I said, I apologize. I said, I shouldn't have said nothing. I had no right. He was like, hey, it's all good. He said, it ain't no problem. He said, how many times have I done that to you? I said, well, I don't really know. You know, there's been a few times where I know you were in a bad mood or had a bad day and you said something or did something a little different. He said, if you ever do something where I feel like it's too much, he said, I'll let you know.
That goes back to being a stand-up friend, like I was talking about.
Exactly. If I'm doing something stupid or if he's doing something stupid, I will tell him, hey, don't do that. Or, hey, man, you need to calm down or you need to do this or whatever. And he would do the same thing for me. And like you said, I love him for it. I ain't going to get mad at him. I love him for it.
I went through, you know, everybody knows that I was in a bad hunting accident one time, a long time ago. It was just really bad deal. And I going through a lot of bad, and I was up at Ed's and by myself. And I told him, look, I'm not going to help you with Tuskers no more. I'm done. I don't want nothing to do with hunting, and I'm just going to quit. You know what his response was? Nothing. He didn't even look at me. Hmm. Come around the 10th of the next month, he said, you got your article ready?
Yeah. He knew you.
He didn't try to tag me into nothing. He acted like he was deaf.
Yeah, he wasn't listening to that junk. He's like, no. He knew better. No.
He knew better.
That's right.
And I didn't write one and got your article ready. Mm-hmm. That's the third time he asked me that. I said, yeah, here it is.
There you go.
And it was a little bit of a struggle, but if life wouldn't have, like the old lady said, if a mountain wasn't rough, you couldn't climb it. If it was smooth, you couldn't get a grip.
That's right, buddy. So I think
that's just part of it.
Yep. So, I think that's a good note right there to wrap it up on. What do you think?
I think so. I hope the people likes it. Hey, look.
I've enjoyed it.
I like what we talked about the people's calling in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's give that a shot, y'all. And we're going to have to kind of figure out how we can do it. We can let you know what day we're going to record. If you'll give us your questions, Pat, Nate, myself, whoever, you know, and we'll go over, say, two or three. We've got it set up to where I can take your call in.
Yeah.
And I do want to have all that kind of figured out. And
probably the best.
I want to let a few people know before we even air this, because there'll be other ones that'll copycat and do it. And I want to be the trendsetter, damn it.
We're going to go ahead and put that out there now. So if somebody does that in the future.
Yeah, we'll have it figured out by the time this airs. Yes. So that way we can run with it right then. Yes. So go ahead, Nate. Yeah. Now what can we do? Nate's going to tell us.
Probably the best way is we'll make posts, and then we'll cumulatively, Dad, Pat, and I will all get with you. And then I will get each of your information, and I will contact you personally. And basically we'll have a call list. And I'll have text message ready and make sure I'm in contact with you and you're awaiting a call and can give one and you're not randomly doing something. I'm saying, okay, you can call in with your question now. And then when we get done talking to you, we'll thank you for your time and hang up. And then I'll let the next person and we'll kind of go through it like that.
I mean, this Dixie Doggers podcast that we're doing right here is for hog hunters by hog hunters.
Yes.
I'm not going to be that guy that's not going to get mad if you shake my hand and you don't know my name.
Yeah.
Or who I am. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. And
ain't nothing special here.
And we're open to, we're open to other dog hunters by all means. Anybody, any type of dog hunting is fine. But what we kind of specialize in is meat dogs that's supposed to run hogs most of the time. But sometimes they don't. that's what we specialize in, huh?
So this is for the people by the people.
Exactly, ain't no doubt. That's what we do. We do this every day that we can. Ourselves and Pat probably does it every single day when he's not working, he's hunting, or he's messing with dogs. Some kind. Nathan messes with dogs every single day. It's doing something, whether he's working them out, whether they're working out or exercising, or whether he's hunting them, training them, something. And then I mess with them whenever I can, which is.
Well, one of us has got to work.
Yeah, and that's what somebody's got to work around here. And then, like, we might be able to roll this into where we can do this in the future with more than one. I don't know. We'll just have to check and see. We'll see what works out. And everybody just, you know, like I said, we kind of got to screen it a little bit because we don't want no crazy lunatics.
Oh yeah.
Get out of hand on this stuff. Cause we still got to be respectful.
Yeah. They ain't room, but for two of one of them on the show. And I got that.
Yeah. I was going to say Pat's got that part locked down. Y'all. I'm so glad Pat's here. Cause for a long time, I was the craziest one around. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I can't make a man feel good about his life.
All right, buddy. Well, man, we appreciate you, Pat. Thank you for time. Thank you for your knowledge. And we'll do it again here in just a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good to me.
All right, my brother. Well, you have a good one.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, brother. We'll see y'all.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Love y'all. Be good.
Yes, sir. Love you too, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That was Uncle Pat, and that was our second time doing the Q&A deal. I know it run a little long, but it don't take much to get long-winded on some of these topics when we're cutting down to it and we're just talking about everyday life. We do appreciate y'all. Like I said, we're really going to try to get this up and going. So make sure y'all keep downloading, subscribing, check all our social media, check out everything, and till the next one, thank y'all.
Thank you.